Welcome back to FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground. I'm Craig Hanley, along with co-host Gary Reasons, who's on the road this week. This is our 25th and final episode for the 2023 season. Gary, I know a marathon is 26.2 miles. We're at episode 25. You add in your 13 on-campus visits this season, our FCS National Awards Banquet. I think we've reached the finish line, even at FCS Delivered episode number 25. What do you think?
Marathon is the right word for this, Craig. Yeah. You know, even you take a look at everything that we've done and all the episodes that we've gone through, the season, the preseason, the on-campus visits. And, you know, I shared this at our FCS National Awards show on Saturday night, but you add up all the miles that I traveled going to those 13 universities this season, it turned out to be 25,000 miles that I traveled this fall. So, hey, it was all great. It was fun. I enjoyed it. We had a great weekend in Frisco, Texas. Not only did we have our FCS National Awards show completed Saturday night, but we had a wonderful FCS National Championship game, and we'll talk all about that right here.
Yes, we're going to kind of review the weekend. We're going to review the season a little bit. Seth Biley and Grant Bell are our producers. They've helped us all season long with FCS Delivered. Obviously, you could find us on many different podcast platforms, YouTube by searching FCS Delivered. And on this episode, let's just get right to the national champions. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, they beat Montana 23-3. It was a close game through halftime. You know, 7-3, the Jackrabbits were up, but they pulled away 16 third quarter points. And the Jackrabbits, back-to-back national titles. Eighth time that has happened in FCS history, 46 years of the championship games. They're the ninth program to have two-plus titles. And Jimmy Rogers, our Eddie Robinson Award winner, he's the eighth first-year head coach to win a national title. I think we had the right national champion, the Jackrabbits, Gary.
Yeah, they certainly did. They came as advertised. They played well. They were solidified. They did everything that you would want to in a football team. And, you know, for Montana, they needed to keep this game close, Craig. They needed to have some things go their way. They did not get the production offensively that they normally would have had, but you have to credit the South Dakota State defense in this football game because that's really what I think won the game for them, in addition to, you know, great offensive play with our Walter Payton Award winner, Mark Gronowski, leading that team on the offensive side. He had a nice day. So I think this thing laid out across the season, number one, number two, was a great game, but the Jackrabbits right on top, I think that's the right winner.
Yeah, I mean, not only were they back-to-back national champions, but Mark Gronowski, as you mentioned, he was the most outstanding player of the championship game for back-to-back seasons. He's the third player to do that. He really picked it up in the second half. I mean, he had a touchdown run and a touchdown pass for the game. I think it was 237 yards of total offense. But that defense of the Jackrabbits, I mean, there's all this talent on the offensive side that is NFL-level talent. That defense, they kind of prided themselves a little bit on a no-name defense. Maybe they're not quite that, but they kind of tell themselves that. They had three of their four playoff games, Gary. They did not allow a touchdown. I think the big stop of the game was Adam Bock stopping Eli Gilman, our Jerry Rice Award winner, at the goal line, inches away from tying up the game on the first play of the second quarter, and the Montana did not score. I just think it's an incredible defense. They had the lowest points allowed per game in 20 years for the FCS, the last 20 years, 9.27 points per game. You know defense, Gary. I think the Jackrabbits defense was awesome this year.
It was. You couldn't get on in this football game. You take a look at the total plays, and Montana, you know, had 21 more plays offensively in the football game, and they only averaged 3.6 yards per play. However, you look at South Dakota State, their production was much higher at 6.8 per play. That's kind of the balance there, and that defense came on for the state, and it just stayed there all game long. You talked about the goal line stop. Boy, that was an impressive play. And, you know, kind of gave that defense that momentum. I think, Craig, it just kind of set the stage of what was to unfold.
Yeah, they even had the Jackrabbits 5 sacks, which was a season high. Here they are in their 15th game, and they kind of saved the best for last here. I mean, Montana had been on such a roll. I mean, you have to give Bobby Houck's team credit. They were winning thrilling games in the playoffs, overtime games twice. Hats off to them for being in the national championship game, first time since 2009. We had the right teams, of course. It's just the Jackrabbits were incredible. I mean, their point differential for the playoffs, and Jimmy Rogers brought it up in the postgame, it was 146-15. And that 131-point differential in four playoffs games,
wow.
It was the second best since 95, I believe. And it's just incredible what they've done. Offense and defense, even special teams got it done.
Yeah, they have talent across the board, offensively, defensively. We're going to see some of these Jackrabbits, I think, on Sundays on a regular getting some time. So, interesting, Craig, this situation here with Mark Gronowski. He's a junior quarterback, back-to-back national champions, back-to-back MVPs, as you talked about. He was our Walter Payton Award winner this season. Now, he may have a decision or two or three of what he may even do coming up pretty quickly here, is whether to be marking, make himself eligible for the NFL draft, the Jackrabbits, or if there's any opportunity for him to consider even moving to another team, maybe an FBS team via transfer portal. And, there's always some of that new nil stuff that's out there that these guys are having to deal with. Mark Gronowski has some decisions to make in the near term, don't you think?
Yeah, reading the tea leaves this past week, I could see it happening, a transfer to the FBS level. They kind of resisted as a program in recent years, Tucker Kraft 2 years ago, and then he was drafted in, I believe, the second round by the Packers. And last year, some of the other players, Isaiah Davis, a terrific running back, he resisted. And they kept their group together. They are losing so many key seniors. Maybe now you start to think, if you're a Mark Gronowski, okay, I've won the Walter Payton Award. I've been a two-time national champion, two-time player of the game in the FCS championship. It's a factor, of course. Now, of course, South Dakota State's going to continue to be an elite program, even if they lose Mark. You just got to wait and see. But it's a tough decision for a young athlete what to do. I mean, your brotherhood with your teammates, whether you want to leave them or just go off to different, greener pastures. But this 2-year run is just phenomenal, Gary. 29 straight wins. Only two of the North Dakota State teams during their dynasty had better runs, consecutive wins. And I think this team ranks up with some of those North Dakota State teams, maybe the 2013, 2018 undefeated teams. Even that Randy Moss team of Marshall back in 96, they were 15-0. Do you feel this team is among the best in FCS history?
I think they were. They've been built the right way. We saw during the game, and I think that Coach Stiegelmeyer was really, really having a whole lot of fun there because he knew what was there. He was at the game on the sidelines, and what he had built over the last several years alongside Coach Rogers, who was there with him. And you know what? That was interesting to see. I think this is, Craig, a very talented team. They've put together, a 1-2 season back-to-back that really wasn't in any way. I don't think it was tested that much because they were so superlative in what they did every single week, their preparation, their focus. They stayed on top of their game, and it showed. And so congratulations, Coach Stiegelmeyer. He stepped out of his role after his national championship and turned the reins over to Coach Rogers, who led the Jackrabbits back to that promised land, and it turned out just fine. And it looks like both those guys had a lot of fun on that sideline.
Yeah. One more point with that. I mean, you and I talked about it in the lead up to the national championship game. We felt like, there were some key plays that had to happen for the Grizz. But we also felt like the Grizz had to force South Dakota State to play not to lose. As the favorite, with all that pressure, instead of playing to win, they had to force the Jackrabbits to play not to lose back on their heels. The Jackrabbits did not flinch all year. They played to win from day one and never flinched and fell into that kind of role, Gary.
No, that is right. They are definitely on top of it. If Eli Gilman had punched that ball in early in the ballgame, it may have been a different little setup there, but I think that, wow, just how it all turned out, it was just the Jackrabbits' day. And you could see with these two teams, for me, a guy looking at size and talent, and I think there was a little bit of a size advantage to South Dakota State, and it was apparent. And they kind of took over. They were a lot more controlling of the line of scrimmage, and I think that's where you win that football more times than not. It late in the year, really in championship level games, you have to win that line of scrimmage, and South Dakota State, they certainly did that in the national championship game.
Yeah, there's no finite answer when you're comparing through history, but this was one of the greatest offensive lines in FCS history. I mean, that was a veteran group that's been together, and then yes, the size matters, and also their NFL talent. So if you look at the stats before an FCS top 25 poll, of course, South Dakota State was unanimous pick for number one, Montana number two. It was a great year for the Missouri Valley Conference, and it's been that way for a decade. I mean, North Dakota State, a semifinalist, was third. Then you had South Dakota fourth out of that conference. UAlbany from the CAA, they went to the semifinals. They were fifth. It was easy to have right wire to wire with the Jackrabbits, and our top 25 poll did this year. I'm glad to see how good our poll was throughout the year, Gary.
Yeah, it really was. It kept up with what was going on during the season. North Dakota State, I mean, they dropped all the way outside of the top 10. And they marched right back up the rankings late in the season and into the playoffs as they continued to get their team in order back together. So congratulations, State, of finishing out the season very, very strong in that regard. But I think we held up pretty much throughout the season. Congratulations to UAlbany. They win the award for the longest miles both in regular season. They went to Hawaii to start the season, and then they went to a couple of playoff games where they had to travel significantly. I was talking to the athletic Mark Vincent about that, and he said, man, this has been one heck of a season for that. So UAlbany gets the award for the most traveled miles in the 2023 season for sure.
Sure. Well, we're going to take a quick break from FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the FCS National Awards Banquet this past weekend.
Rehearsals for the school play were really coming along.
Bigger smile, Mr. Squirrel.
Until a custodian accidentally threw away the costumes.
Oh, no.
Everyone was rattled. Miss Garrity forgot how to play. And the Queen of the Hedgehogs almost quit.
Find a new queen!
But replacement costumes were shipped with FedEx. And with added peace of mind from picture proof of delivery, everyone could focus on the perfect opening night. FedEx, where now meets next. For residential delivery only.
Welcome back to FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground. I'm Craig Haley, along with Gary Reasons. And this was a big weekend for Stats Reform and FedEx Ground. Gary's the host of the FCS National Awards Banquet. It's held annually on the night before the national championship game. And we have five award winners, of course, but the Walter Payton Award for Offensive Player of the Year and the Buck Buchanan Award for Defensive Player of the Year, they get unveiled that night of the banquet. Gary, tell us about this year's banquet as the national host.
It was a lot of fun, Craig. And congratulations to Alex Eshelman. She's the director of broadcast for the Big Sky Conference, and she joined me as a co-host on stage, and she did a tremendous job interviewing our award winners, and really enjoyed having her with us. It was a fun night. We had a display of talent across from youth to senior play. To good job with our award winners, and all of them, I think, are indicative of what these legacy awards mean. So when we start talking about legacy, it's Walter Payton. You know, you got Buck Buchanan, Jerry Rice, and certainly Eddie Robinson. And those names, you know, just think of those names. When you talk about FCS football, those are the guys that really are namesakes, and we're very proud of them and trying to bring that that tradition back and trying to talk about those. So we have presenters that come back and visit about their families, those legacy awards, and it's impactful. You hear more every single year about them and how those players got to be as great as they are. And then these players today who are being labeled as an award winner, I think they kind of understand what they have just achieved a little bit more. And it puts them in a position to where their history in FCS football has been made. They have done that. So we presented the five awards, and obviously the top award was the Walter Payton Award, which did go to South Dakota State University quarterback Mark Gronowski. He had a great season, no doubt about that, finished it off in the national championship game. We had our top three finalists overall there, and Max Brosner from New Hampshire. He had a great season as well. And Jaden Sheridan from Monmouth, the running back, and who also was in the 2022 conversation last year. He finished third again this season. So three good top finalists, and we showed their highlights for their seasons, and they each of them had great seasons. We also looked at the Buck Buchanan Award. Our winner was from Tennessee State, Terrell Allen. He was their defensive end who really turned it on on the defense. And, you know, his backfield pressures, he's 14 and a half sacks on the season, 26 tackles for loss. It was tremendous for him, an impactful player. And Dylan Kelly from UAlbany was also there as a linebacker, as one of the top three finalists. And Billy Schaefer from Lafayette, congratulations to those guys. They finished 2 and 3 in the voting as well. Jerry Rice Award, Craig, I think that this one's really pretty cool. Eli Gilman, who was there with us, he was there with Bobby Houck, his coach. We had Jimmy Rogers, our Eddie Robinson Award winner, in the house. So we had both head coaches. We had two players in the game on opposite teams, one as a freshman of the year, and that's going to be Eli Gilman from Montana, and then obviously Mark Gronowski, our Walter Payton Award winner we just mentioned. So that was fun to have that at our event Saturday night, the night before the national championship game, and that was good. And then, and lastly, we started off with our Doris Robinson Scholar Athlete Award, and Tommy Mellott was presented that. I went to Bozeman, Montana, to Montana State, and kind of surprised him with his mom and his dad, and to present something to him on campus in front of his teammates. And Tommy was really appreciative of that. We showed a little clip in the show just about how that all unfolded. Overall, Craig, I think it was a great night. I enjoyed much being able to tell the stories that we did and tell a little bit about some of the legacy of these awards and how they come to be. And we have certainly have some great recipients that have really earned the right to these awards, and really nothing more to say about that it was a tremendous night and a tremendous, tremendous weekend in Frisco, Texas for the FCS.
You're right, Gary. And you know what? Obviously we bring the top three finalists for the Payton and Buchanan and, you know, the winners of the three other awards, but there, you know, that's just a small part of all the finalists. I mean, whether there's 30 Buchanan and Payton finalists or 20 coaches up for the award, 15 for the Doris Robinson, or 20, 25 for the Jerry Rice Award. So the national panel, which also votes for the top 25 poll, votes for these awards. And these finalists, whether they're there or not, just walk away as winners. They're just, you know, tremendous stories to tell. Student athletes, you know, on this level, they really embrace that. So it's just great to see how many finalists are out there. Even if they're not in Frisco, it's just, you know, a pleasure to watch these young players and coaches go about their craft. Now you can see the FCS National Awards Banquet broadcast on Valley Sports regional networks. We've over 155 airings on 14 of their regional networks. You can also find this on theanalyst.com. We have the whole broadcast posted there. So you can find all the great activities from the National Awards Banquet. I hope you do. Gary, we're going to take another quick break from FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground, and we will be back to kind of wrap up the year, maybe look ahead. It's been a lot of fun this year in the FCS. This is FCS Delivered.
When someone accidentally threw away the school play costumes,
oh no!
Replacements were shipped with FedEx. And with picture proof of delivery, everyone could focus on the perfect opening night. FedEx, where now meets next. For residential delivery only.
Do you like what you're hearing on FCS Delivered today? For more national FCS coverage, please go to theanalyst.com throughout the week. We're the home for the FCS Top 25 Media Poll and the weekly and season-ending FCS National Awards, presented by FedEx Ground. We also take you across FCS Nation with stories, predictions, and an inside look. The FCS coverage can be found at theanalyst.com. Welcome back to FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground. It's the final segment of the season, episode 25 of our weekly podcast, Gary Reasons and I'm Craig Haley. Gary, this was some season, and let me tell you something. Yes, wire to wire with South Dakota State, but one of the things that is so great on the college level, maybe more so than the pro level, is schools embrace winning a conference championship. That's their starting point before they think big picture. And it means a lot. Teams come back together and celebrate it, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line. And the great thing about the FCS, Gary, it doesn't always go as planned because there's a lot of teams that rise up. This is the second straight year. Only five of the preseason favorites in the preseason poll, which is kind of the official polls for each league, out of 13 leagues, only five wound up winning it. And only three were teams that won outright titles. So it just shows you it doesn't go to form. South Dakota State was a favorite that won the Valley, Missouri Valley. Furman in the SoCon. Florida A&M won the SWAC. Holy Cross and Yale and the Patriot and Ivy Leagues, respectively. But a lot of teams rise up, and I love that it doesn't always go to form.
It's interesting because, this season you played at the FCS level, and everyone has the same goal. First, it is, as you talked about, win that conference, and it does mean something. At the FCS level, this is how the NCAA has determined who's going to play in the postseason. It is conference champion in some of the conferences first that get automatic bids. So they're all trying to get that automatic bid simply by winning their conference. So if you win that conference, you're going to be automatically in the FCS playoffs. And that's what it's all about at that level. So they've got it right on how they pick the 24 teams that go into the FCS playoff bracket at the end of the season. I applaud the NCAA for doing that and the FCS for finding a way to be inclusive for success on the field. So that's great. I love to see that. You talked about some of the teams that were favorites, Craig. We watched them, talked about them all season long. That is fun to see how those guys fare. And it's kind of like a back of the napkin kind of a conversation of who is going to play well, do well. We really don't know because players coming and moving around quite a bit. There are a lot of changes that teams will make. Every team is going to be different, far different than they were the previous year. And I say that because of what's happening in college football now, especially with the transfer portal. Instead of recruiting and having young freshman players join your team to build and get those guys more experience, there's a lot of coaches who almost are of the win now mentality and more strictly they try to recruit the transfer portal. So it affects the teams that have when you start looking at polls and who's going to win what and who's going to win this, you really don't know until these teams have been put together finally. That doesn't happen until midsummer because there's still a whole lot of moving around, especially with the young high school players coming in that could possibly be a part of any football team. So, but regardless, we have what we have, and I like where we're at.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't really come together till the summertime because there's a lot of movement, whether it's players or coaches. Looking at this season, Gary, did you have a favorite game that stood out at all?
I tell you what, you I think you and I are probably in the same boat here. That playoff game between Montana and North Dakota State, a couple of overtimes in that ball game. In the semifinal matchup, that was a heavyweight match. That was a big boy football game, and it blew it. No doubt about that. So that is one that I think would be my pick, Craig. And I think you may be in agreement with me. Are you in agreement with that?
I did a year end review, and yes, that I called that the top game of the year. Now, there's another one I want to mention. It was my top regular season game of the year because I think the playoffs, obviously, you're going to focus a little more on for best games, but see if you remember this one. You were at Chattanooga for the FCS on awards on campus, and that following week, I think they were preparing for Western Carolina. That game was a slugfest. Western Carolina pulled it out in the end, 52-50 in the SoCon. I guess it was probably back in October. That game stood out for me as far as the best regular season game. You remember that one? That was something.
Yeah, it was a big season, and that one did stick out as taking it down to the wire, and you know that score, you know, a lot of points scored in that football game. But yes, that is one of those ball games, and being able to actually see Chattanooga, who was in there in that matchup, it was pretty interesting. Kryle, who was their kicker and punter, and rewarded him for his great week previous week in special teams. So. Yeah, we kind of did have our eye on that. I've seen a lot of these teams now, Craig, up close and personal, visiting 13 campuses over the course of the year. So basically, one out of 10 universities I attended our campus there. You know, we've got 128 across the FCS that we cover here, and you know, being able to go out there, you find some familiarities and things that you didn't know before about these programs. And what I really like is being able to go and see these guys practice. You really learn about a team and how they're made up, about how they practice. And I saw differing ways to practice the FCS, but really, you know, a lot of quality teams. 7 of the 12 teams that we went to in the regular season ascended to the post. So that's pretty cool that we were picking players who actually were in the mix all season long. And some of the other teams that we attended all had a chance to get in there, but just did not make it. But so our FCS kind of went in line with some of that as well.
Yeah, I think the FCS National Awards on Campus really added to the fun of this season, to really get behind the scenes and see these teams working and what makes them click. I think just watching a practice, as you mentioned, you just see the structure and it all comes together and you say, this is why this is a very good program. So that was terrific. Now we look ahead to 2024. Obviously, South Dakota State is going for a repeat. Will be tough. It seems to me all the top teams are losing a lot, whether it's transfer portal or just senior losses. It's a year-to-year thing anymore. I mean, over 20% of the FCS programs will have a new head coach. Includes Florida A&M, which won the Celebration Bowl. They were number 11 in our final top 25 poll. Willie Simmons has gone on to Duke as the running backs coach. Tim Polasek is back on campus at North Dakota State, replacing Matt Entz. I think they're going to be in the mix. Holy Cross had another big loss. Bob Chesney has moved on to become James Madison's coach. Dan Curran from Merrimack has taken over there, but they're going to take a step back with all they lost. So it's going to be a fun year, Gary. Kennesaw State rises to the FBS level after a year of independence. West Georgia is joining, coming up from Division II. They're going to be in the United Athletic Conference, and that's going to keep the FCS 128 schools. But I tell you what, there's a lot of changes going on. We know what conferences will be there in the end. It could be the Missouri Valley Conference, the Big Sky. I'm thinking probably the same kind of teams will be in the mix in the end, Gary.
I think that the consistency of approach really from the university level, whether your coaches are moving or whether you're kind of bringing new players along, if you have that structure of approach, you're going to build off of that. And that's what's happened here. You take a look at South Dakota State. You know, this year they lost their head coach. John Stiegelmeyer decided to hang up his cleats, but, you know, turned right over to Jimmy Rogers, who didn't change hardly anything, but really stayed true. And he knew exactly what that program was all about. And the structure and how they approach the game is consistent. And we see that in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. We see that in the Big Sky Conference year in and year out. We're beginning to see that more consistently, I think, in the CAA level of football, Craig. So don't be surprised if somewhere out of the CAA we see a team get into the national championship game here pretty readily. I think that could be the case. There's going to be new head coaches you talked about. You know, at my university, Northwestern State, Blaine McCorkle is going to take over the helm there for the Northwestern State Demons, and I wish him the best of luck there to get started. So there's a lot of things that are happening this offseason, and we're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot of things leading up to the 2024 season. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking about those storylines already, as I'm sure you are, and it's going to be a fun one.
Well, don't tell the Jackrabbits, but I'm thinking the Bison might be on top again next year in Frisco. We'll see. Well, this has been the final episode of a great season of FCS Delivered, 25 podcasts. It's been a lot of fun, Gary. We thank Seth Biley and Graham Bell for our producers week to week. FedEx Ground for bringing this to you. Stats Perform for making this happen. You know, all our podcasts can be found on our YouTube channel, theanalyst.com. Gary, it's been a lot of fun this year. I hope you can catch your breath after this long marathon that we've been through.
It has been a lot of fun, and it's been a lot of pleasure to be able to talk about this environment of what we have. And, you know, I'm a football guy, and so it's easy for me to talk football. And I love to see that. I love the storylines of the FCS. I love the brand of football. I love the playoffs. I've talked about that throughout the season. And Craig, I appreciate your time and your work and what you do for Stats Perform, the analyst, and all your do a great job of bringing to life the stories of the FCS. And that's what this is all about. So we also partner with all of the sports information directors a country, because they are our fuel. They are the ones that are telling us about their young people on campus and what they're doing week in, week out, whether they're playing games or whether they're preparing or what's just happening on campus. So we need to applaud the communication departments at every university, because they really are the lifeblood of these universities, telling the stories of these young people that really entertain us as fans to watch these games and attend these games. And then we have this tremendous playoff that we've just concluded here in Frisco, Texas. So, you know, my hat's off to all the communication directors out there, the sports information directors and guys, and especially the ones that helped us this season, yes, on campus, every single one of them, all 13 of them. I thank you personally. Really want to congratulate all of you for your great successes and helping us along to make FCS on campus a success for us. And it'll be back next year is something that we're working with FedEx Ground about, and we're talking about expanding some things, but I can't let that out of the box yet. I don't know that just exactly how that's going to happen, but we're trying to grow that platform a little bit more. So more to come on that front.
Yeah. I tell you, Gary, you mentioned it. I mean, the plays may fade away, some of the wins and losses, but the stories never do, and there are great stories on the FCS level. I can't thank you enough, Gary. I mean, you're FCS royalty. We've always felt that way. Especially thank the viewers and listeners of our weekly podcast. It's been a lot of fun on FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground. We thank you. We hope you enjoy the offseason, and we are looking forward to the 2024 season. Thank you for tuning in to FCS Delivered, presented by FedEx Ground.